of the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Doug, you're pointing up. That's really good, but the audience...
Well, I know, but that's...
We don't have anyone signing this show. How is the audience going to know?
And we don't have a webcam. Maybe we need to add a webcam feature.
That could be.
That way people will understand that I'm pointing up, indicating I'm with the Lord.
With the Lord. If we win the lottery...
Okay.
If Denver Bible Church wins the lottery...
And we enter every week religiously? No, we don't.
Well...
Do we? No.
We enter religiously. You mean we take 10% of the collection... And
that's
we tithe
right.
to the lottery.
We tithe to the Colorado State Lottery.
We don't do that. You know, there are some people listening who will think we do.
Yes, there are. That's why we need to be clear that we don't do that.
So we better clarify.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, you don't publicly advocate that anyone should play the lottery. I think it's a tax on the foolish.
It's a tax on the poor.
And the poor. I've never seen anyone pull
There's some overlap there, but not all.
I've never seen anyone pull up to a gas station in a Bentley and have their servant get out and buy lottery tickets.
No, I haven't
Has anyone seen that? No.
No, lottery is a tax on the poor, which is why liberals love it. Gambling, the Bible, God doesn't say gambling is wrong, but the government should not run a gambling operation to feed its obsessions.
Didn't they used to call this a numbers racket? Isn't
yeah.
that what it was called back
it
in
It is
Brooklyn?
A racket, and the government, when the government gets in on it, that doesn't mean it's now okay.
Well, Bob, that's just another sign that the country has gone insane. And I've got
the country
examples.
Has gone insane. Jesus said in Matthew where he said, is it not lawful for me to do what I want with my own money?
That's
so
what
if
he
you
said.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 20 or something.
No, don't give them the verse. They have to go look it up.
All right.
Yeah.
So if you want to throw away your money, you could throw away your money. I mean, it might be a sin.
Yeah.
But not all sins are crimes. Only certain sins are crimes. And God describes what things are crimes.
You know, that's a very deep thought. I had never pondered that before I started coming to your church and studying with you, studying the Bible with you.
Not all sins are crimes.
Yeah.
But every crime is a sin, if in fact it's an actual crime.
But who's qualified to judge? Who are we to judge? Who could actually figure out what's a crime and what's a
sin?
You
know that don't judge verse?
That would be Matthew 7:1 or 1:7?
Yeah, Matthew.
Oh, we're not supposed to give the verse. No, you have to look it up yourself.
All right. You know that verse, don't judge?
Yes, I've heard of that verse.
That doesn't apply to us. I'm just trying to figure out how to really annoy some of the liberal Christians tuning in right now.
If there's any...
Doug, Jesus said, if you are committing the same sin, basically, then stop. Like if you're an alcoholic, how could you criticize your brother who's an alcoholic?
That'd be tough.
And he's ruining his life. And if you criticize him, the whole thing becomes a mockery.
That's hypocrisy.
Jesus said, first take the plank out of your own eye.
Right.
Then you could see clearly enough to take the speck out of your brother's eye. He didn't say don't ever take the speck out of your brother's eye
Very
or
good. Try. Very good.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that doesn't apply to us.
Okay.
It applies only to those Christians out there who admit that they're hypocrites. And when they say you shouldn't beat your wife, in reality... They're admitting, well, when nobody's looking, I beat my wife.
I beat my wife.
That's why I can't tell my neighbor, don't beat your wife, because what is it my business what he does in private?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, speaking of the entire country going insane. Okay,
yes.
I've got a story here from the CBS TV station here in Denver. What is it, Channel 15, 26, 4, something like that?
Yeah.
I never
71.
Watched network television.
CBS, Channel 71.
CBS reported that a woman was caught up at one of the ski resorts. She was caught using a man's ski pass. This isn't a woman.
Now, that's against the rules, because... They sell these things, and they don't want them to be transferable.
Right. Ski lift tickets are non-transferable.
Right, because they cost a fortune. Do you know what it cost to steal a mountain from the city and county of Denver, then to put ice on it that you call snow, and then erect these ski
lifts
in the lodges? It costs a lot of money.
It does.
And, Doug, did you ever see a picture of an actual snowflake from heaven?
I have, yes.
And aren't they cool?
They're incredible.
They're extraordinarily, they're gorgeous, they're awesome, they're wild. Do you ever see, under a microscope, the snow that they make up in Vail?
I have not.
It is the ugliest glob you've ever seen in right? your life. Man-made snow looks like somebody threw up on the slides.
So we haven't quite mastered the art of...
God's snowflakes are beautiful.
God
but
makes
anyway,
snowflakes.
So ski resorts are expensive.
Yeah.
So when they sell you the lift ticket, it's non-transferable.
That's right. They don't want you trading it with someone at the bottom of the hill so you can double your fun or whatever. You
right.
know, someone gets
and
in free.
You go to lunch or you buy it with your friend and every other day
right.
you trade back and forth. So one way of helping is to make mail and female ski passes.
Right.
Well, lift passes.
This young lady was caught using a man's ski pass, and when asked, what's the deal?
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that, ma'am.
Right, ma'am. excuse me, this is Nicholas, not Nicole. She said, well, I'm in the middle of a sex change operation.
Oh, come on. Say
she,
it isn't so.
That's what she told the lift operator who busted her.
Now, that's really, that's gross.
Well.
That's gross. Now, it's really gross if it's true. If it's not
right.
true, it's just a lie. And a lie is an insult to God, and it's stealing. She's trying to steal.
So a sin and a crime, she's got it both covered.
She's got everything covered.
Yes.
But if it's true, it's really,
turns
it's not
out,
only a sin, it's gross.
Well, it turns out it was not true. Her boyfriend eventually admitted that he had loaned her the ski pass,
oh.
the lift ticket.
Okay, so what am I supposed to think? Good, I'm glad she lied? I mean, this is so confusing.
No, well, I'm glad that she hasn't visited Trinidad and is actually going through a sex change.
Trinidad
operation.
And Tobago?
No, Trinidad, Colorado, the sex change capital of the world.
Oh, down south.
It's where the sex change operation was invented by a decrepit old doctor down there who's still, apparently still practicing. Anyway, that's beside the point. What bothers me is that that this warranted an investigation instead of being immediately dismissed as fraud and a lie.
Right.
These days, the lift operators,
what are we going to do?
There's a good chance she is in the middle.
We have Senate Bill 200 that became law. She could go into the men's room. Men could go in the ladies' room at Vail.
You know, maybe she has a basis to argue that she should be able to use a man's ski pass. It's discriminatory.
Yeah, she may.
It's just sad.
So,
that's how crazy the world is, though. Instead of just saying, look, you're lying, we know it.
All right.
We have to be sensitive and have an investigation as to whether or not we have to test her hormone levels and stuff, because you just never know.
You know, and Doug, what an insult to her boyfriend.
Ooh.
I mean, could you imagine you are at a resort, a ski resort with your girlfriend, and she says, look, I'm a guy.
I'm in the process of a metamorphosis.
And her boyfriend, his jaw drops, because nowadays, who knows?
Yeah,
his jaw
sad,
drops, man. And he's like, huh?
What? What did I do to deserve that?
So anyway, that story is worthless.
I told you it's insanity. Now let's go to Arizona. An Arizona man is facing charges, Bob.
This is in Prescott. You just handed me this.
Yeah.
In Prescott?
Prescott.
Prescott, Arizona.
Why do they pronounce it Prescott?
They don't know how to read.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful town,
beautiful.
Prescott, Arizona.
High elevation, cool. Anyway, this fella is due to face some charges after he forced his girlfriend to let him cut off her finger to earn his trust.
Now, this is not true.
Yes.
You made this up.
No. He's facing charges. He forced his girlfriend to allow him to cut off her finger with a sword.
Is this the same couple?
They drove down from Vail on the way back to Phoenix, stopped in Prescott.
And he said, look, if you don't let me cut off your finger,
I'm never gonna let you live this whole sex change thing down.
Okay.
No, this is a different
This is
couple.
Another tragic story.
This is a weird one. Now, is this like, I don't know if this guy was with the Japanese mafia, the Yakuza, you know, where you have to cut off your pinky, I think.
What do you call the Japanese mafia?
Yakuza.
How do you know that?
Because my wife's Japanese.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and
hello, Takata.
But I think it's when you do when you rat on somebody,
they cut off a half of your pinky.
Cut off, or I forget. It might be if you do a good thing, or if
in
it's
Saudi
a bad thing.
Arabia, if you steal, they cut off your hand.
Wow.
And they cut off your right hand, so then you're unclean.
Oh.
Because you know it's Muslim country.
That's taking it too.
They don't
far.
Have a lot of toilet paper over there.
So they cut off
your right hand. Now, does God in the Bible say, if you steal, cut off your hand? Does he say that?
I don't recall reading that in my translation.
No, he doesn't say that.
He doesn't say it in the Old King James, the New King
does
James,
the
NIV,
the New
Living
Translation. Does he say if a young couple are living together, they should be killed, put to death?
He does not, but he does condemn them to marriage. I do.
Well, I wouldn't quite. Takako may be listening right now, Doug. I wouldn't quite use that
term. No, I'm just talking about how two young morons might view it as a condemnation. Anyway, but that is the appropriate.
He strongly urges marriage if they're living together.
Yeah.
And a lot of atheists will say, well, the Bible says if a young couple's living together, they should be put to death. It doesn't say that, but you know what I've noticed? All Christian pastors, leaders, generally in public, they all admit that it does say that, even though it doesn't.
Because they don't know any better.
They don't know it, and sometimes they themselves are the ones who spread that false information,
yeah.
And they like it because it makes the Old Testament seem unreasonable, and therefore they're justified for never having studied the Old Testament
yeah, right.
and wanting to distance themselves from God's law.
Wow.
It's intense.
That's sad that we have yeah. people in the pulpit who are unaware of exactly what God's word
says.
So
this is true here, that this guy told his girlfriend, if I'm able to trust you, if I'm ever going to be able to trust you, you have to let me cut off your finger.
Yes, and then he sliced off a portion of her left pinky finger.
That is just so gross.
And he threatened her with death if she wouldn't let him do it.
So that, I mean...
And this guy's name, this guy is not Mahmoud. This is Ronald Jean Olivier, a French guy, or at least a French extraction.
Mm. So, you know, an eye for an eye?
An eye for an eye, yes.
That's that evil law, right?
An eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth.
Isn't that
life for life?
Wicked? Some evil?
I don't think that's wicked or evil.
Oh, you mean God is the one who said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth?
And then I think Jesus reiterated it in the New Testament, did he not?
Well,
not
exactly. It depends, you know, on what passages you're looking at.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus affirmed the death penalty over and over and over and over. But if there's a dispute, if somebody's insulting you, Jesus was saying, don't take the law as an excuse to be miserable and have a grudge.
Oh.
Don't take the law as an excuse. But Jesus affirmed the death penalty over and over.
Indeed.
But anyway, so this guy, they could slice off a portion of his left pinky finger.
They could, if she wanted to, if she really wanted to.
And if he really threatened, then that's a crime in and of itself.
To threaten someone with death.
Yeah, that's pretty serious.
Anyway.
All right. If it's credible, and when he has a knife and he's slicing off your finger, that's pretty credible.
That's pretty credible, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now from the ridiculous to a serious story, because I want to get your take on this, because I know that you're interested in justice and that you always have a biblical view of justice. Up in Washington, D.C., Bob, a woman was convicted of killing her four daughters.
Oh, no.
It's just unbelievable.
And Washington, D.C. is one of those murder capital of the country cities.
Every other year.
Cities.
Yeah, every other year.
Switches with
year.
New Orleans.
And Chicago.
Until New Orleans was, well, Katrina probably changed their crime rates.
Yeah, yeah.
Down in New Orleans. But Detroit, Chicago.
New Orleans, D.C.
New Orleans.
They're always in a battle. They're always in the top five.
And quite often it's the capital city. The capital city of any given state is often where the crime is highest,
yeah.
And the capital city of the country is typically where the crime is highest, which should be an indicator to somebody other than people in this studio that there's something fundamentally wrong with the government.
Imagine
when
that.
Wherever the seat of the government is, the rape and kidnapping and murder and...
Well, you know, it makes sense that the fountainhead of...
Wickedness.
Of not just wickedness, but welfare...
Yeah.
And the fountainhead of perverted justice, that city would naturally have more broken families and more crimes.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It makes sense.
And that's,
right.
I believe Denver is the capital of,
right.
of all of that here in Colorado.
I was in Washington, D.C. I called the police.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd like to report an incident of domestic violence.
Oh.
A wife picked up a glass ashtray and hurled it at her husband. And they said,
what was the address?
They
sir?
Said, what was the address? And I said that Pennsylvania Avenue one. What is that address?
1600?
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And the operator, she
yeah.
said, well, where is that? Which district is that in? 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I said, I didn't want to give it away that it was
yeah.
the White House and that Hillary assaulted her husband. I mean, you go to jail for that.
Allegedly,
right?
Yeah, she threw an ashtray at him.
You go to jail, and I didn't want to give it away and say it was the White House. I said, I don't know what district, but it's the one with the big buildings. And she said, do you think it's District 1? And I said, yeah, it's That's District it. 1.
1600. See if you can pull it up on MapQuest. But anyway, that now this, what struck me as odd here is that here's a woman who was convicted, mind you, of murdering her four daughters, and the judge sentenced her to 30 years for the murder of each child, a total of 120 years in prison that this woman has been sentenced to.
Yeah, and God's word says that the reason there is so much crime is because the sentence against a convicted man or woman is not executed speedily.
Yeah.
So she has a 120-year sentence. So how do you execute that sentence speedily?
That can't be. By definition, it cannot be executed speedily. It's going to take 120 years minus good behavior.
Right.
Now, and by the way, these murders occurred January of 2008. That's almost 2 years ago that these murders took place.
Yeah. So she should have been put to death a couple days after they found her daughters killed.
Should have been an investigation, a fair trial.
Yeah.
And upon conviction.
Yeah, she should have been put to death, and it should have been painful and swift.
And public.
And public.
Just in case there are any other weak-minded individuals out there who might be thinking about harming their children, they could see what happened to this woman.
And, you know, some people obviously are distraught because their husband, they don't even have a husband. They're on their fifth boyfriend, fourth child, whatever. They're an alcoholic. They're postpartum depression, whatever. Depression, and then, you know, I could kill my kids and then watch cable TV and play ping pong for the rest of my life and not have to pay the bills.
That's right. They go to jail. They don't.
So they take that option. Whereas if you swiftly execute one of the moms, like Susan Smith,
who just one
drowned her two children,
just one of
or
them,
or Andrea Yates, remember,
pick one.
Or all, we have an epidemic of mothers who kill their kids. Then these women would be scared to death to hurt their children.
Because then the punishment for harming your child is meeting your maker.
Right.
And that's not something they're necessarily prepared
That's
to
not
do.
Ping
scared.
Pong and that, volleyball
no.
in jail and
no.
colored TV.
Oprah Winfrey in
cable.
The
right.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. And to be put to death painfully is horrifying, especially to a woman. Mm. So it's relatively easy to ensure, to help women, those who are anywhere near the edge, so that they don't go over the edge and kill their own children, and then she has to live with that. It's horrific. What she has to live with, it is far more merciful to painfully and swiftly execute the woman or the father, husband, who kills his child, her child.
Yeah.
And deters others, and God promises it is a deterrent.
It's God's social safety net.
Yes.
The swift death penalty for capital criminals.
That's right.
God's social safety net.
So to be a liberal, you have to what? You know, on my cell phone, I got the most interesting email.
Yeah.
This guy said liberals, they're against personhood because they think there are too many kids in the world. The world is overpopulated and global warming.
Right, right.
And he says, why do they all want to defend and prolong the lives of rapists and kidnappers and murderers and adulterers? Why do they do that? Why don't they say, you know, we've got too many people in the world.
Let's start with executing these guilty criminals.
Yeah, mass murderers.
Why not?
Rapists.
That's a kind of a disconnect there, a non sequitur.
It's like those who believe in global warming all want to rebuild New Orleans.
Ah. Uh-huh.
It's like, what's with that? If sea level is going to rise 10 feet or whatever, why build New Orleans? You want to do it again?
Let Mother Earth have her way with the land down there.
But so it is a disconnect. So those who say there are too many people, they want to kill the innocent and protect the rapists, kidnappers, and murderers.
Mm.
That is because it's not because they're confused. If you're listening to this right now, you're a liberal, you're driving through Colorado, you're over Monument Pass on your way to Colorado Springs, and you think that it's okay to kill a child in the womb, and you're against the death penalty for rapists and murderers and kidnappers, you are not confused. You are evil. You are an evil human being.
You are in rebellion against God, the creator of you and the universe and the earth.
Yeah, because
you're in rebellion.
You don't arrive at that by accident that you want to protect the rapist and kill the baby.
No.
That is not by accident.
No. That,
no. No, that is a hardened heart against God and against the innocent, even innocent children.
Well, not to put too fine a point on it.
Yeah. But so, Doug, that's why we need to promote personhood.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
We're teaching people by the thousands that God made us and we have no right to kill children that are made in his image and likeness.
And personhood, by the way, is the all-encompassing phrase we use to define our efforts, the efforts of Christians, to amend the state constitution to declare that every human being from the beginning of their biological development is a legal person. That's what personhood is.
Yeah.
So understand that.
Yeah.
And that's, by the way, an update. I've been talking to the folks at Personhood Colorado.
Yeah.
We've been sending out an average of about 10 packets a week for the last 2 weeks.
10 packets a week?
And a packet could be...
Wait. Let me say again. 10 packets a week?
10 packets a day, I'm sorry.
I thought you got that wrong because... I heard you on the phone before the show.
10 packets a day.
10 packets a day.
A packet is a bundle of petitions appropriate to the size of that church. We've been activating churches throughout Colorado.
All right.
If you have not activated your church, if you haven't asked your pastor, hey, pastor, what are we doing for Sanctity of Life Sunday coming up on January 17th? Mm. And if he's not sure, well, you could suggest circulating the personhood petition. So 100 new churches, or 100 churches activated over this past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hard to say how many signatures that
right.
is, but it's many thousands.
The petition has room for about 100 signatures.
Right.
So if they came back half full, that could be 5,000 additional signatures.
Yeah.
And the effort has been to activate Christians and to activate churches, because the mega churches and the mega ministries and the groups that get $100 million a year to promote Christian values are pretty much universally against personhood.
They don't return my calls.
They're pretty much against personhood. Yeah. And the large churches, you know, when slavery was legal and the Christians who constantly tried to free blacks.
Yeah.
The big churches didn't want them even to attend.
No, they caused a ruckus and they offended certain people.
Yeah.
Some of the richer people in the congregation might have been pro-slave, and it just caused problems.
Right, and so it's distancing themselves. And it's the same thing in Germany when Dietrich Bonhoeffer was saying, as Christians, we cannot allow our churches to take that oath of loyalty to Adolf Hitler. We cannot allow that. We have to oppose that. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was despised by the Christian community in Germany.
Right.
So, Doug, I'm sensing a trend.
Yeah.
The big church, some big churches, a few big churches helped us put personhood on the ballot last year.
Oh, yeah.
2008.
And I'm not going to name them on the air, but one of them is standing with us today. They're going to be back. They've got... I don't know, 1,000 members or more.
Wow.
To me, that's a big church. Now, it's not like not like a Dallas, Texas church where they get more people than the Denver Nuggets attract.
Right.
You know, I don't know if we have any churches. Do we have any 15,000 churches here in Colorado?
The largest church in Colorado, had that homosexual prostitute pastor. Oh, no, he wasn't. He was the pastor
alleged.
Who visited the homosexual prostitute. But he stepped down. So that was that was good.
Yeah.
That was handled correctly.
That was. I thought the elder board did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, New Life.
As good as could be done. But New Life,
they're
so far they're not on board, but we don't know. There might be someone from New Life listening now who could approach the pastor and suggest that the personhood petition should be circulated in the New Life Church. Life is right in the middle of their name.
Yeah.
New Life Church. I mean, it'd be a shame for them not to be on board. They were on board last year, by the way.
It would be a shame, but, you know, abortion will be ended through the personhood movement, Lord willing.
Yeah.
And there are many Christians who will have been on the sidelines the whole time.
Yes.
And people go to see the Lord, and, you know, he's going to have words with us.
Yes.
And he'll wipe away the tears, but they're going to be some... Rivers of
tears. Yeah, because we're going to have to give an account.
Rivers of tears. Imagine being a Christian in Germany and bad-mouthing Dietrich Bonhoeffer because he said we as Christians have to stand against the Nazis.
Yeah.
And imagine bad-mouthing Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and there is your average church.
I think I couldn't disagree with that.
Mm. All right.
What
do people do if they want to help in Colorado?
They should go to personhoodcolorado.com or go to coloradorighttolife.com.
Either way, they're both promoting the same personhood petition.
Get the information. We can get petitions through a number of distribution centers. There's no reason you can't participate. It's as easy as picking up the phone or clicking on the internet.
If you live out of state and you want to help, call Colorado Right to Life and donate to their issue committee.
Yeah.
That's not tax deductible.
Well, good.
But who gives a rip?
Yeah, believe me, a $100 tax deductible gift, when you actually factor it all in at the end of the year,
What's the difference?
It's not even a cup of coffee.
We're talking about trying to stop the killing of innocent children so also that the hearts of the parents are not hardened further against God because they killed their kids. So if you call Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394, and you can make a donation to the issue committee, and you have to let them know. Say, I don't want a tax deduction.
Yeah.
I want this to go to the personhood effort to get personhood on the ballot, because, Doug, there are 40 states pursuing personhood, and they have been encouraged by Colorado.
Amen. Amen. The world is watching and learning and being witnessed
to. The world is watching.
You know? I can't wait till we export personhood outside the United States. That'll be exciting.
It's starting to happen.
It's bound to happen. You know what?
Personhood USA is going to change their name. I think they're going to South America soon.
Personhood Globo. Right? Isn't that the global Hispanic Mexican language station? Globo.
Yeah. And, Doug, we've been talking here at the studio. I've been invited to Germany by a Christian family there.
How appropriate.
And I don't know that I'll be going, but part of the goal is to set up a tour of Germany and meet with all the pro-life groups. There are half a dozen. And to share with them the personhood strategy that's caught the vision and hope of Christians in America.
Wow. I'm encouraged to know that there are any pro-life groups in Western Europe. That's encouraging to know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when the prophet told God, no one else is with me. I'm all alone. Who was that?
And Elijah.
Elijah.
And
God,
the Lord said,
no. Said,
there are 17 others.
No, he said 7,000.
7,000.
That I've reserved for myself who have not bowed their knee at the idol of abortion.
So, and that was in a little country like Israel.
Yeah, 7,000.
There's got to be a lot more.
A lot more that we don't know about. So,
all right, so this gal got 120 years of ping pong and color TV.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
For murdering her four children. So she should have been put to death swiftly, painfully, publicly.
Now, meanwhile, Bob, in central Islip, New York, a judge has ordered a New York woman held on $100,000 bail for torturing and killing animals. They found 42 dead animals buried in her yard, 20 dogs, cats.
Cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs. So she didn't discriminate.
Oh. So it's not a hate crime. It's not a hate crime.
So it's... It's not a hate crime. $100,000 bail for... anyway, it's quite a disturbing story.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, kill... save a baby, go to jail.
Yeah.
Now, be a hero, save a whale, save a baby, go to jail.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's the way it is. God bless you, Doug McBurney.
Thanks, Bob.
Maranatha.